Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. At the end of today's program, I'm going to talk about Paul and persistence and never giving up. You know, Paul never claimed that he was capable of accomplishing all that God had called him to do. He simply learned to look beyond his own inadequacy to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. You know, if we'll adopt that same practice today, we too could discover the blessings hidden in our own experience of inadequacy. I can't do it. Our insufficiency drives us to God when we realize that a situation is bigger than we can handle. We got to go to Him. And it relieves us of the burden of self-effort and self-reliance. The Lord has us right where He wants us to be. And then it motivates reliance on a divine power. Him, God, did not intend for us to do certain things by ourselves. We'll never be adequate until we draw from the Holy Spirit's strength. And God demonstrates what great things He can do. He actually delights in choosing unlikely individuals to carry out His master plan. And then how about the challenge to your faith? The Apostle Paul says, our adequacy is from God, 2 Corinthians 3:5. Those who focus on the reliability of this promise and step out in obedience will grow in their faith. Why go through all the fear, pressure, and frustration that accompany feelings of inadequacy when there is an alternative? Today, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world is going on? It's picking up steam. Two of the most popular commentators on television today, Fox News' Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, you know who they are, have charged that one of the top officials in Washington, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley, should be investigated for one of the nation's most serious crimes, treason. It's picking up steam. The issue arose from a report in a coming book that Milley, because of his distrust of President Donald Trump during the last week of his presidency, called Milley's counterpart in communist China a general there. Milley did not tell his boss, the President of the United States, about that call, either before he made it or after he made it. Milley's message to the communist Chinese military, according to Tucker Carlson, he documented it. General, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay here. We're not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you. General, you and I have known each other for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. I'm not going to surprise you. Wow. Let that sink in. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It won't be a surprise. According to this account, our country's top defense official secretly colluded with our chief military rival to undercut the elected president of the United States. Oh, this is deeper than deep state. It's treason. It's a crime. And apparently, Mark Milley isn't the only person implicated in all of this. Others knew that it was happening. This thing should be interesting to watch as it unfolds in the days ahead. No, it isn't. It's not unbelievable. It's the new America, a flood of evil. COVID and Colorado, let's go there. Colorado in the last 10 or 15 years or so has turned into a real haven for leftist extremists. Its lawmakers, after all, were in the lead in setting up a marijuana industry that is still illegal under federal law. Pick a president by the Constitution? Not for those in Colorado who voted to reject that idea. And its governor, he installed a first gentleman in the governor's mansion. Really? Lawmakers there adopted a long list of fees when voters limited tax hikes. Simply create a tax, but go ahead and call it a fee. Under the thinking of that's what it is of lawmakers there, Colorado residents must pay a fee for a bridge that he or she uses. But an out-of-state trucker who hauls millions of pounds of freight across that bridge is somehow exempted. The results are a unified government where the governor's office and most of the legislative houses are dominated by Democrats. And don't forget the state's leftist judiciary, which was openly scolded by the Supreme Court for its leftist hostility to Christians in that state. So it would surprise no one the state has advanced a very pro-vaccine mandate agenda, probably further than anyone in the country, by threatening jail time for those who don't make sure children in schools have their mask on. And the lawsuits are starting to come in. A local CBS affiliate is reporting the dispute arose after the superintendent of the Littleton school system recently told the school board they could be held criminally liable for not enforcing the mask mandate. I'm telling you, the demons are running all this stuff. It is just ridiculous. From Colorado schools to Ohio, members of a school board there have been told to resign after they utilized an alleged obscene instruction guide that told students to write about an X-rated Disney scenario. I mean, they're just all nuts. Or 10 euphemisms for sex. Or a room full of people who want to sleep together. Or a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. Or the first time I killed someone. Or your favorite part of a man's body, and you can use only verbs. Where's my gun? The controversy has developed in Hudson, Ohio, where Cleveland.com said Hudson Mayor Craig Schubert and parents of students in the district are demanding the school board and the teachers leave because of the book used in Liberal Arts 2 writing. The book involved is called 642 Things to Write About. It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom. I've spoken to a judge this evening, and she's already confirmed that's so. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. Either choose to resign from this Board of Education, or you're going to be charged, said Schubert. The exact outcome of the confrontation hasn't been made available yet, but Hudson High issued an apology to moms and dads and confirmed it is working on collecting those books. What a bunch of perverts. The public school system at Hudson High School in Ohio. Okay, inquiring minds want to know. President Biden repeatedly has stumbled to the close of a news conference. The question is, who keeps shutting off his mic during question and answer periods? With remarks how he's going to get into trouble for taking questions, everybody knows that's a big deal for him. Is he getting instruction from offstage? Multiple times, in fact, his mic has just been cut off in mid-sentence. Who has the authority? Well, according to the White House, no one. I mean, there's just been one story after another. My word, do they have a technical problem? You know they don't have a technical problem. Last week, Biden said, one of the things that I've been working on with some others is, and his mic is gone. Just last month, he was about to answer reporters' questions on his plans to pull troops out of Afghanistan. Yep, cut off. Cutting short his comments has developed into a real pattern for the White House. So say Republicans. What's the deal? During a Senate hearing with Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he was asked, who has the authority to cut off the president? No one, said Blinken. And then, somebody in the White House has the authority to press that button and shut the president off. Cut off the president's speaking ability and his sound. Everybody wants to know, who is that person? Then comes the joke of the day, the comment of the day. Blinken said, I think everybody knows the president, including members of his committee, knows that he speaks very clearly and very deliberately for himself. somebody on Saturday Night Live ought to be able to develop that one. Very clearly, huh? And deliberately. That's our Joe. So the Summer Olympics are over, but it's coming out now. I think everyone knew this. Simone Biles, one of the all-time greats for the United States, revealed yesterday that the sexual abuse that she was subjected to by disgraced former USA gymnastic team Dr. Larry Nassar had a direct impact on her mental health, and it showed in the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, from where she unexpectedly withdrew from so many events. Biles and several other members of Team USA Gymnastics spoke before the Senate Judiciary Committee over the FBI's failed investigation into Nassar. Biles' impactful statement touched on a range of issues related to the investigation and went on to detail the lasting impacts the abuse has had on her and many other athletes years after the allegations were first made public in 2015. How sad that was and is. Still shaking my head, recall of Governor Newsom out in California. What in the world? I guess many are saying it, and it's true. California, you get the government and the man you deserve. Business news, where are we? Prices for goods online have now risen for an unprecedented 15 consecutive months following what was a historical period of declines in America. Wonder when that happened. Inflation is hitting categories including pet products, non-prescription drugs, apparel, furniture, and flowers. Let's face it, everything. The changes mean e-commerce transactions are on a pace to account for roughly $1 in every $5 spent by Americans. That's up from $1 in every $6 in 2017. And for the first time, it takes quite a bit to get me to notice anything, but I was at Kroger this week, I was at Walmart this week, and I don't remember a time when I saw so many empty shelves and items missing here and things missing over there. What's going on? Does that have to do with the lack of truck drivers, or is it just that overall stay-at-home pay-me program that's so popular in America today? It's happening. And one other bread, rice, tortillas. Governments across the world see rising food costs, and they come at a political price. The dilemma is whether or not they can do enough to prevent having to pay it. Global food prices up 33% in August from a year earlier. Vegetable oil, grains, and meat gone through the roof. And I think this is, no, I know it, it's cheating. A pastor is encouraging people to donate to his Tulsa church so they can become an online member and get his signature on a religious exemption from the coronavirus vaccine mandate. The pastor, Jackson Lehmeyer, is a 29-year-old small business owner running in the Republican primary challenge to Senator James Langford for 2022. Lehmeyer, who heads the Sheridan Church with his wife Kendra, said Tuesday in the past 2 days alone, 30,000 people have downloaded the religious exemption that he created. It's a beautiful thing. Really? Let's try this on. It's a more beautiful thing. Well, he played the part and he's not playing anymore. Wearing a surgical gown, a mask, 9-year-old Adam Litwin watched as his grandpa, a podiatrist, mended a fractured foot. I was just mesmerized. He said, I literally knew from that moment on there was nothing else I wanted to do with my life. And he began to ask for medical posters and textbooks for his birthday. He had his own stethoscope. In his teens, he wore a beeper and he paged himself, pretending that the hospital needed him to consult on a patient. Now, decades later, 47-year-old Adam Lincoln has achieved his big dream. He graduated from medical school, passed the final board exam, required to be a doctor. Though Litkin must still complete some training and licensing before he can treat patients on his own, he is an MD in the United States of America. That's great. And finally, who said that? Well, for me, it was my dad. For supper, eat it or go hungry. Yeah, that was Dad. And let me get one. You certainly know my thoughts on the mask, right? The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected. It is absolutely ridiculous. It is both a plandemic and a scamdemic. Good grief. Charlie Brown. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this important message. How many times and how many ways has God protected you? You're probably not going to know until you get to heaven. I was thinking about a cruise my wife and I took, compliments of our church years ago. Had an opportunity to be with David Jeremiah on that cruise. He called us up to the platform in one of his preaching sessions, but here's the point. We did snorkeling. It's kind of unusual and kind of fun. My wife's not a big fan of water, but she really enjoyed that. Then yesterday, I was reading where, in the very same area, a family went snorkeling and a 21-year-old girl was attacked by not one but two sharks and was savagely killed by those sharks. You just never know. A second here, a second there, and your life changes forever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and we need to know that. And then we need to know that we are in God's hands. Yes, we are. He'll continue to look after you until the day you move to the other side of the curtain. That's great news for us today and should give great confidence to any Christian listening. In Psalm 42:1, David is writing, "As the deer pants for the waters, brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God." Are you hungry to know Almighty God today? Is there a passion for him deep within your heart like David had? Paul was passionate for Jesus Christ, and this abiding love motivated him when troubles arose. Difficulties are going to come in your life and mine. It was his abiding love for Jesus Christ that kept him firmly on course. We talked yesterday about perseverance. I said yesterday I wanted to share one of those from Thomas Edison. Adversity, you know, cements the heart to the heart of God. This is the reason people can reach their goals when adversity grows too intense in life. If Thomas Edison had become discouraged with his quest to harness electricity, he would never have invented the light bulb. Failure after failure after failure. How do you handle that, my friend? Edison persisted, and after many tries and thousands of hours in the lab, the day came when he flipped the switch and the light filled the dark room. He had motivation because he had a passion to reach that goal. Perhaps you've experienced a recent setback or defeat in your life. Thoughts of giving up will fill your mind today. Could I challenge you not to give up, my friend? God has a purpose. Yes, he does, and a plan for our lives. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," Philippians 4:13. And you too. Yes, you. You adopt those words as a part of your belief system. Don't be tempted to reach a goal or satisfy a desire apart from Jesus Christ. Because if you do, you're going to miss the best part of the Christian walk. An opportunity to become intimately involved with God and his plan for your life. Give him the opportunity to teach you how to persist and not give up in life. Allow God the chance to reveal himself to you. And you're going to discover the deeper things of God and the blessings that he has stored up for you to enjoy. You know, the difference between failure and an event of failure, being stoned does not seem like a victorious event, does it? Persistence teaches us something. Paul gained perspective of his situation and recognized value. In times of defeat, we never know how close we are to victory. And that persistence will teach you that a trial or time of adversity does not mean that we are to stop pursuing our goals in life. Persistence teaches us that in every event of failure, God has planted some seed of success. Failure teaches us to be persistent and determined about our life and our goals and our desires. And then we don't want to bury our failures. Glean a lesson from them, but don't frame them and hang them on the wall of your emotions for some constant viewing. It's not good. And persistence is never blame others for our mistakes and our difficulties. In times of trouble, we need to ask God to show us what he wants us to learn through whatever this thing is. If we blame others for what we're experiencing, not only will we miss God's lesson in life, we will also miss his blessing for our lives, period. We develop a persistent spirit when we set some goals that require our very best efforts. Are you doing that? I mean, on the God things of life, are you doing that? Allow God to develop His desires within your heart. Paul did not ask to be a missionary. The thought never crossed his mind until he met the Savior. Then the love Paul had for God grew tremendously. Sure it did. A desire arose within him to preach the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. His vision increased as he grew closer to God and realized that God's love was all that he needed in this life. So keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and not on those difficulties that come along. Maybe you're in the middle of something right now. Refuse to listen to criticism. You'll get a lot of it. Oh, some's good. Don't misunderstand me. But by and large, no. Look for personal lessons in times of defeat. And practice self-control in your life. Persistence will require us to set the focus of our minds on Jesus Christ and that goal and not on our feelings. Feelings are not the best emotional barometer in life. If you want to know how you're doing in your quest to reach a goal, then ask God to confirm this to you through His Holy Word. Believe that we can reach our goals and rely on God to enable us to persevere. You may have never set goals in your life before. Thoughts of failure and inadequacy may overwhelm you today, but God's not given up on you. He never will. His love is persistent. His love is unconditional. It's never too late to pursue a goal or a dream that you had earlier in life. Therefore, I want to challenge you to resurrect any past goals maybe that God has given to you, and it's never too late. Some people just start to live and get going at 70, even 80, really. Bury all those thoughts of defeat, those thoughts of failure, and you need to rekindle those dreams and those goals that God's placed deep within your heart. Then take a step forward to achieve these things, knowing fully that Jesus Christ is going to help you. He's going to enable you. He's going to strengthen you and provide you with all you need to reach your goals, no matter what they may be. Persistence, absolutely, we've got to have it. I'll remind you again that persistence pays off. And Paul, he believed it did. When it came to persistence, there was no question. Paul had what it took. And I mean, he was just stoned. He was beaten. He was bloodied. He was left for dead, shoved off a ship. All these things happened to this man. He certainly didn't enjoy it. No one enjoys failure, defeat, disappointment. Paul did not enjoy that public humiliation that he experienced either. But he viewed this terrible thing happening to him and others like it, there was bunches of stuff, as an opportunity to identify with Jesus Christ. Paul knew that when Jesus was faced with the horror of the cross, he had not given up, and neither could he, and neither should you. He never quit. Never, never, never quit. The power of persistence, it's an incredible thing. Today's bumper sticker, I'm allergic to food. I break out in fat. Now, I worked really hard to somehow turn this into a positive, and I think I have it. If you have 5 inches of fat around your gut, you can prevent a bullet from reaching any vital organs. So, in essence, I'm not fat. I'm armored. That's what it is. That's crazy. I'm on a roll now. Friend of mine said that his wife was singing in the house the other night, so he went out and sat on the porch so the neighbors wouldn't think that he was hitting her. I've had my say for another day this Thursday. So good to be with you every day at this time. For now, join me on Facebook. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-M. Thank you for praying for this ministry, for telling others about Hello World, and supporting it however you can. That's it. God bless. You have yourself one great Thursday, and tomorrow, same time, same place. Looking forward to it.